Let's stand up and pray together this morning. In the name of the Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Happy New Year. This is a new year. The message the other day was first fruits. You have another chance to start over with God, and you have another chance to be kind, to be gentle, to be humble, to give to God out of your what He has blessed you with. See every blessing that you have, and if you see that every blessing is from God, it changes who you are. You just know that He has been with you and He will always be with you. So thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for those in attendance, and let's have some joy in this church. In Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. But it feels good in here, amen?
Amen.
feels nice and comfortable in here, so hallelujah. What a wonderful day. John's going to be happy now, you know why? Because you're singing. Walk on faith,
grace my fear.
Folks are back home, and I thank God for the miracles. You get on an airplane, and it lands, and you get up, that's a miracle. I think it is. Brother Jim drove to Pennsylvania, that's a miracle. Hallelujah. So anyway, responsive reading, I'm happy. My joy is exceeding. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of God of Jacob defend you. May he remember all your offerings and accept your burnt offering, sacrifice.
May he grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all our prayers.
Wow. We will rejoice in your salvation, and in the name of God we will set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God.
Say, Lord, may he answer us when you call.
You know who wrote that? King David. Do you know who knew pain? King David. Do you know who knew sorrow? King David. Do you know who knew victories? King David. Do you know who was prepared? You know who was King David? And he was God after God's own heart. God said that he's a man after my heart. Was he perfect? No. But he knew trials and tribulations, and he wrote over 70 of the Psalms that we read in our Bible. So when you read him, he understands your pain. Amen. He understands sorrow. He understands, ready? Sinning. Anybody here sin this week? No, but God, no, that's true. You raise your hand up because you are who you are. God said we fall short daily. Don't call him a liar, but he forgives our sins. With him there is no condemnation. Understand that. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's the truth. If the Holy Spirit is inside of you, and how many believe that's true? If the Holy Spirit is inside, he can't. Why would he condemn himself? Our flesh falls apart, but he doesn't. Our spirit inside is strong. And he doesn't see. All he looks when he looks at you, he sees the blood covered. You're covered in blood. He sees you as pure. He sees the Holy Spirit inside of you. And when you sin against God. No matter what you say or what you do, it's against him. So you go to him and say, Lord, forgive me. And he knows your heart, and you're forgiven.
Amen.
Isn't that good?
Yeah.
I thought it was, oh, I already know that. Well, then live it. How many times have God gotten you through something that maybe you shouldn't have got through? Speeding on the highway or running in a boat without a life jacket, Deacon Chuck. In the middle of Long Island Sound, and he can't swim. You made him work overtime. That was it. He had to send three angels to watch over you. But guess what? He did. So if he did that, why isn't he going to do something tomorrow for you? Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. What is the last word in the Bible? Don't look. The last word in the Bible. Is it man? Is it return? Or is it amen? How many think it's man? The last word in the Bible, man? How about return? Return? How about amen? Amen? That question was brought to you from Madison Monday, our granddaughter. She said to ask them that, and I'm going to let her know that everybody in the church got it right. What is the meaning of the Aramaic word ephatha? This is great. E-P-H-P-H-A-T-H-A. Ephatha. What is the meaning of the Aramaic word? Does it mean to be healed, to be opened, or to be free? You know who used that word? Ready? Jesus, in the book of Mark, he said that word, Ephatha. How many think to be healed? Be healed? How about be open? How about be free? Immediately, his ears were open. It was a deaf man. He said, Ephatha. Aramaic, Brother Jimmy James. You know, we were watching race horses the other day. My wife and I like watch picking horses, my wife. And there was a trotter, and the horse's name was Jimmy James. And I said, that just That just can't be right. How many brothers did Goliath have? Anybody remember David and the big guy? You ever see Shaquille O'Neal in person, you'll understand there could be people as big as Goliath. And my wife was in Tennessee and she met Andre the Giant. Believe me, he was as big as Goliath. So how many brothers did he have? I mean, I got this question. I didn't realize, I never thought about that. He had 2, 4, or 6 brothers. How many brothers? 2 Samuel, see? Did he have 2? How about 4? We got 4 brothers. How about 6 brothers? Did he have 6 brothers? According to 2 Samuel, he had 4 brothers. That's what we know. And one of his brothers, really, this is cool. One of his brothers had 6 fingers and 6 toes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah? That's pretty cool, right? On each foot?
Oh, no.
I'm thanking for no great thanking. He had 6 fingers on each hand and 6 toes. What a wife. My best friend. King David said God told him a ruler must be what? King David said God told me a ruler must be strong to do battle. A ruler must be just, ruling in the fear of the Lord. The ruler must be kind-hearted, humble, and caring for the poor. King David said God told him that a ruler must be strong to do battle. Anyone? How about just, ruling in the fear of the Lord? You know? How about kind-hearted, humble, and caring for the poor? We got that? 2 Samuel, see? Just, ruling in the fear of God. A good ruler must be ruling in the fear of God, saying, whatever I choose, I better go to him first. If only we had people that did that. What does God say about it? Not what does the church say. What does the word say? That's my thing, amen? You want to know what the word says, amen? Because you start getting into what the church says, and you got things, you go back 1,000 years, and they didn't say what they said today, because they didn't say it back then the way they say it today. See? Who did David tell, I have sinned against the Lord? You got to read Samuel. And anybody likes it. Deacon Jim, how you doing, Mr. Howe? Deacon Bill, welcome there, Deacon Bill in the back. Good thing that's the last row. I wouldn't even get to see you there. Who did David tell, I have sinned against the Lord? Did he tell Bathsheba? Did he tell Nathan or did he tell Samuel? Who did David tell, I have sinned against the Lord? How many think Bathsheba? He told Bathsheba. How about Nathan? He told Nathan. How about Samuel? He told Samuel. There was a man who was like his, not his mentor, but where his spiritual guidance, who spoke to God, who was a prophet. And God spoke to him and he spoke to David. His name was Nathan. It was his personal, him between goats. So God would speak to Nathan and he would go. And it was to Nathan that he had said, I have sinned against the Lord. Because Nathan had this absolutely wonderful, well, wonderful might not be the right word, but told him a story about a man and a sheep, a ewe. Isn't it funny that a lot of the stories in the Bibles are about sheep? We are sheep, and he knows his people. And he told them, he said that there was this, you've maybe heard it before, this man who was a rich man, had many, and there was this other man who had one little ewe. But he loved the little ewe, and he had it, and he said it actually slept with him and was in his house with him. And this big ruler came, and the king, who had many, wanted to throw him a dinner, but he didn't want to kill any of his sheep. So he went to this poor man with his one and took his ewe and killed that ewe to have the feast. And David's anger, just like he always aroused, he was mad. You know you can get mad in the Bible? How many know people get mad in the Bible? There you go. He was mad. And he said all these kind of things should happen to him. And Nathan just looked at him and said, David, you're that rich man. Because you took a man's wife. He had one wife, and you took her. He had one love. You had all these women. You were the king. You had the concubines. You had the wife. And you were not satisfied. And you took his one true love. And then David said, I have sinned against the Lord. How powerful is that? Amen?
Amen.
How many knew that story? That's good. That's in Samuel. It's really fun to read. You mean you have fun reading the Bible? Anybody ever say that to you before? Oh, you're sure. I mean, some people start screaming, you need, but it's fun to read. The things that you learn, you start saying, aha, that makes sense. Anybody? I mean, am I alone here? I don't think so. David. Now, I got into this way too much, and I'm never going to get through too much of it. Because once I started, there's way too much to share with you in 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 45 minutes. How long do you want to stay? David was a man of faith. He combined with his works. He had, you know, say faith and works, but he had faith, and his actions showed his faith. Amen. He gave God the glory always. When?
Always.
He saw every victory coming from God. It is why we must see all our victories coming from God. All the prayers answered coming from God. We must. We must see our victories through the eyes of the giver, or else we will stumble. That's the truth. We might lose faith. We might lose trust. We might lose heart. Unless we realize what God has done for us to this day. Got you right here to this church. You got you all dressed up. Amen? If we don't realize everything is from God, you're going to start to stumble when a problem comes. How many know that's true? And David said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. No, he didn't. But that, because he didn't know Jesus, did he? But he said, I can do all things because I know God. And God has never let me down. And God was with me before. He will be with me today. So yes, he did say, I can do all things through God. Yes, though he did not meet Jesus, he knew the Father. He knew God. And this is great. Ready? God knew him. How many know that's true? How many believe that God knew David? Do you? Well, guess what? He knows you. The same way as God knows you, Brother Jim. The same way he knew David. He knows you. He knows what's in your heart. That's powerful stuff. He knew him as he knows you today. So listen, this is right on the first page. So let no man, let no situation worry you. Let no man and let no situation, please listen to this, steal your joy. Anybody worried about anything today? You're watching TV, all the things on TV. How many are worried about it? You see what's happening in the country and other countries. How many are worried about it? How many are losing their peace from that? We can't do that. Let me tell you why. God is not confused. God is not angry, Brother Jim. He's not angry. You know why? Everything that you're watching is going according to his plan. Anybody, if you don't believe that, we'll talk about it later, but everything that happens, everything we see is going according to his plan. I mean, the Bible speaks about it. People are going to hate you because you love God. It speaks about all the things that are going to happen, the trials and tribulations, the wars, the earthquakes, the volcanoes. We shouldn't be worried because it's all going to, and we might not like it. Amen? You might not like it. But you look at God and say, yeah, what do you want to do about it? I'm God, you're not. Everything is going according to his plan. And some people might say to me, Pastor, don't give his plan away. Isn't that crazy? Oh, no, don't give his plan away. That's crazy. God's got the plan. David did not kill the bear or the lion with his bare hands. How many remember that David killed the bear and the lion going to his sheep because the shepherd is what? The servant. But he didn't do it with his bare hands. He was not Davy Crockett. I wrote that. He did not chase the enemy away by yelling. He was not born a warrior. He worked at it daily. With his bolo, or his sling, I always call that, or with his spear, he became able. David had no fear of a man. And if you look at it, what I'm trying to tell you this morning, he had no fear of any problem. Can anybody here say that? Probably not, if we're being honest. You have fear of problems. You have fear of situations. But David had no fear. He had no fear of a bear or a lion or any problem. He wasn't afraid of one man. Whatever situation he was in. But somebody said, oh, Pastor, he was a big man. He was big. I ask you, has anybody here ever seen a big bear? Pretty big. How about a big lion? Pretty big. You have no idea how big a lion is. And I know you do, but you don't. If a lion cobra, you wouldn't believe how big his feet are. And the claws. And the bear's claws. He didn't have any fear. How many have troubles and tribulations? We all got things we're praying on. But we shouldn't have any fear that the God who brought you to this church today and got you up is not going to forget you tomorrow. You see, you got to give it to God. He has a plan. I told you that a bunch of times, that God has it. And what you're seeing on TV and what you're hearing might be awful, and it is, and you might make it, but God said, I got a plan. You might not like the way he's running his show, but I'm telling you, get out of his way, because you just stay on his team. Stay in the Word. But here's what David did. He gave the glory to God at every victory. That's why I ask you to say amen with all the miracles that we saw, all the prayers answered today are not little. There's no such thing as a small prayer answered. How many times have I told you that? If you think there's a small prayer, that's an abomination. Did you have anything to do with the prayer being answered? No, he did. So it's a big promise. It's a big prayer. It's a big amen. Amen. He said in each battle, he gave the glory to God. He said, not my strength, but yours, Lord. You were with me then, and you are with me now. The shepherd becomes the servant. Their safety, their food, their water, their shelter. And here's the thing. His brothers, when he went to face Goliath, when you read Samuel, his brothers laughed at him. Oh, there's the shepherd boy. He's going to fight that guy. Oh, they mocked him. They had no idea the troubles that he got through, the troubles that the battles he had won with the bear and the lion. He looked at that's just a God. Why are you afraid of that God? Don't you know that God is with us? If God is with us, who or what can be against us? That's why I know we're all watching TV and watching the news and you get frustrated, but you gotta say that's God's. I'm going to stay as close to God as I can. I'm going to stay in that line. I'm going to stay in line. I'm going to give it to God. Amen? Because I can't fix it. I could probably make things worse. Isn't that interesting? We can't fix it, but we can sometimes make things worse. But they mocked him, and he did. So the question I have is, do you see God everywhere? Is it just me? Lily, your transformation from last year to this year is unbelievable. You have grown in leaps and bounds, and you work 5 days a week. You take care of people. You take care of Zippy. You're just, even my bride is just so thrilled with how you've grown. I mean, it's the truth. And we tell you all the time, you can do anything. Don't let anybody, if somebody says that, and they will, somebody will want to put you down because you're doing so well, but just pat him on top of the head and say, yeah, my God's with me. You go ahead and find your own God. Hallelujah. Do you see God everywhere? If not, imagine how much you're missing. You all came to church to hear about Jesus, right? Hear about the God in the Bible. If you don't see God everywhere, Jim, imagine what you're missing. Oh, I don't see it. Then you're missing something. We talked about grace, and I didn't mean to pick on Deacon Chuck. We talked about grace when you needed it most. Places, situations, struggles. So I asked, did God get you through it, or was it just you? Did you get yourself through it? Did you get yourself to where you paid your bill or you paid the rent or you had money? Did you do that? Or did you got a job and you're making money? Was it you or was it God putting you in that, giving you the talent, giving you the favor to do what you're doing? Because trust me, y'all can't do what each one is doing. You might look around and see people, but trust me, each of us have talents that the other person doesn't. That's why we need each other. How many times do we get ahead of God? That's where I think the hardest thing for us. We get ahead of God in faith. We always want it, so we get ahead of God. And when you get ahead of God, guess what? He's got to pull you back. He's not mad at you. God doesn't get mad at you like that. But he's got to pull you back. No, don't get ahead. Come on. And so if you're really in the Word and really with God, you say, oh yeah, I know, Lord, I'm sorry. I'll come back. See? He'll pull you back if you get ahead of him. So don't be afraid. Oh, I'm afraid I'm going to. No. If you do, he'll tell you, hey, come back. You have to. Because the soup's not ready. And guess who the soup is? You. And it's not, oh no, I know you want that relationship. Or I know you want that job. And yeah, I'm with you. I want you to have it. But I got it under control. You just do what you do today. Because when it's ready, it'll be yours. Your heart's desire. You got to work for it, amen? How many know that if you got to study for some kind of job, you got to know what you're doing? He's not just going to put you in a position where you don't even, like put me in a position to run computers like Fred does. Forget it. Last night I had more trouble with getting on Peacock with my thing, trying to get the football game. And my wife just said, you give it to me, you're never going to fix it. And you know what? She was right. I hated it, but she was right. So don't give me no computer job. God will say, you're going to mess it up. David gave God the glory for everything. But he did something more. David did something more. He knew how to pray. And prayer is communion with who, church?
God.
He knew how to pray. He said, my sins are always before me. My sins are always before me. He said, against you and you alone, I have sinned. He said, create in me a clean heart. He said to God, restore to me the joy of your salvation. You remember when you were first saved. He said, deliver me from the guilt of my blood. He said, then my mouth shall show forth your praise. He said, a broken and contrite heart you will not despise. Now here's what people miss. Sounds great, amen? You read that and say, David was quite a guy. Loved God. Man after my own heart, God said. And I read all that to you. And you say, boy, that was quite a prayer. But here's what he did that's so hard for you and me to do on a daily basis. Amen? He looked in the mirror. He looked in the mirror. He didn't blame this person. He didn't blame this situation. He didn't blame trials, tribulations. He didn't blame anybody. He said, I have sinned. My sin is before me. He looked in the mirror at the person that he was and said, I have done that. Nobody else did that. So he took responsibility. When you look in the mirror and say, maybe I said something wrong, or maybe I shouldn't have done that, or maybe. But when you're saying, I shouldn't have been that way. You see, you're looking, you're not looking at anybody else. You're not laying blame. You're not accusing anybody. You're not assuming anything. You're looking at yourself and God saying, I have sinned only before you, Lord. I have committed that. Because the Bible said He will not forsake a broken heart. He will not despise a broken heart. When we fall short, we have a broken heart. Why? Because we let him down. Who? God. Who gave us everything that we have. You say, well, there's people richer than you. I say, you're probably right. People more successful than us. Amen. Bigger churches. I say, amen. But look what he gave us. What more do you want? What you're praying for tomorrow. You want God and you got the desires of your heart and you see in your she's already spoken. So he said, a man after God's own heart in the book of Acts. He was the youngest of Jesse's sons. Y'all know that? Jesse had other sons and they kept bringing him into the angel. Nope, that ain't the one. Nope, that ain't the word. You got another son, don't you? He said, yeah, but he's a shepherd. He's down there with the sheep. He said, bring him in. The Lord is not impressed with appearance. Thank you, Jesus. He's not impressed with muscles or strength. I like this one. He's not impressed with titles. We can call us whatever we want. I'm a bishop. I'm a this. I'm a pope. Right? He's not impressed. Amen? Because it's according to his plan that whoever is, whoever are, is his plan. Amen? Whether you're a pastor or a carpenter, whether you're a lawyer or a doctor, it was according to his plan. Amen? Did he run your life? No. But he gave you special talents and you found out what they were. You looked and you searched for something that you could do. I played the guitar since I was a kid because it was something he gave inside of me. And by the way, David was a musician. Thank you, Lord. Brother used to say, and Dave, he used to tell me, you're nothing without your guitar. No, he used to say, right, Reed? David was nothing without his lyre. So, let me tell you this. The enemy comes in different clothes. Y'all with me? Deacon Sergio? Lions and bears, right? Wolves, coyotes. Now here we go, it's good. Liars, cheaters, scams, deceit, fools, haters of God, haters of the Bible, haters of you. The enemy comes in so many different clothes that you have to be aware all the time. The trials and tribulations you have aren't from God. Sometimes you have to fight through it, amen? But he'll carry you through it. Sometimes people think, I want to get this right, that when you're in a trial or a tribulation, I have to have a heart procedure in March. You see, but when you're in a trial and tribulation, somehow you think God has abandoned you. Somehow you think that God has left you. Sometimes you think, what did I do wrong to be here? But no, you see, it's God who's going to carry me through that trial and tribulation. See, that's the difference. See, when you start to see that God will carry you through, all of a sudden you're not afraid and all of a sudden you feel different about it. Amen? Because if the enemy wants to come and say, well, that's pretty bad. And God say, no, that's really good because he'll be able to trust in me. When I'm in that hospital, I'll have one person to trust, not the doctor. I have to trust God to lead his hands, to hold his hands, and to guide his hands, whatever he's going to do. I have no idea what they're going to do. But he does, thank you, Lord. But see, trials and tribulations are the same way. It's the enemy. Anytime you doubt, anytime you fear, anytime you get angry, and trust me, I know, I get angry watching TV. I can't even tell you. You watch the news and my brain blows. I said, how can anybody not see that this is bad? Now, I'm not talking about 10 million people. I don't know who they are. But I don't see another nation in the whole world letting 10 million people inside their borders in 3 years. This has got to be bad. How can it be a good thing when you don't know who they are or where they're from? They might be the nicest people in the world. Don't we have a right to know? So, see, my brain is crazy. There's a war in the Middle East. My brain gets crazy. But God said, stop it. Stop it because the enemy is stealing your joy. Larry, the enemy is stealing your peace, your worry. The Bible says, don't worry about anything. So you're breaking my rules. You better confess. You have anxiety. You're breaking my rules. You better confess. Because it's going according to my plan. The volcanoes in Iceland. Who can stop that? What can we do? Kill all the cows? If we kill all the cows, will the volcano stop erupting? Please! I tell people, and thank you, Lord, I was so blessed when I was younger. I'm blessed today, but I was a musician. I went to Nashville, and I got into this band, and we traveled all over the United States. It was amazing time. Went to Montana, Colorado, Wyoming, Texas. We traveled and we performed, and it was a thrill. But me, when we went to Montana and we're driving, I said, holy cow, this place is big. You live in New England, you live in Connecticut, and you see all the little bubbles that we're in. You get up there and say, holy cow, look at that mountain. Am I wrong? You guys were just in Denver, Colorado. You see how big things are right here. You start to think, me not using a gas stove is going to cause something over there to happen? That's crazy. I'm just saying, God has a plan. And his plan is whatever we're seeing. Can you fix it? No. We all have opinions. Oh, God, do I ever. Right? Here, Greg, I admit it again. I have. See, you see that one thing you said to me years ago, even though I jump across the line once in a while, is a string that pulls me back because of that one thing you said. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hallelujah. So, the enemy comes in different clothing. Liars, cheaters, scams, deceit, fools, haters of God. The Bible said people are going to hate you. Why? Because you love God. How can that be? How many know you're going to have battles ahead? They might be big battles. But you got to be prepared. And you prepare by knowing the Word of God, by having faith in God. I got to tell you that I never saw a doctor for 70 years. And now I got to go through something that right now my spirit is calm. So it's only God that got, he said, but that's something that's ahead of me. But I'm going to give it to God. And give it to all of you to pray for me. Amen?
Amen.
And your prayer for me will give me peace. David was prepared for the battle. Why? His love for God, his compassion for his sheep, to protect and serve the weakest of them. Of those of mine, said the Lord, take care of my sheep. He told Peter, tend to my sheep, love my sheep. That's why I love you so much, because you're here, hearing the word of God from me. I am feeding you. And that's why it just, when people left the church, I prayed for them. Say, who's going to feed them? I was feeding them, and they left. What did I give them the wrong meal of a day? But I realized it's got nothing to do with me. It's how the word is received. But that's how I feel about it. When somebody comes and then they leave, I feel like, what did I do? Lord, what did I say? How did I say? I know we had this couple coming, and they came to one service, and I said, listen, there's only men and there's only women. That's it. There's no other, nothing else. You're either a man or you're a woman. And I think that offended them. Because I said, there's only man and woman. There's no, I mean, you can go to a doctor and do anything you want, but there's zero success in changing you from a man to a woman. God bless you if you want to do it. It ain't me, it's you. You get tattoos everywhere, but you're still a man because you can't be a woman. You can't do what the woman does. You're not made to be a woman. And I said that. I wasn't trying to hurt anybody. But they never came back. My spirit said, oh, as a shepherd, you shouldn't have done so. But I gave him the truth.
Amen.
Hallelujah. True worship is intended for God alone. Now I'm going to close here. There was one death that David was charged with. Out of his own hands. That was Uriah. And this is what he did. First of all, he took his wife. He saw Bathsheba, and he saw how beautiful she was, and he said, bring her to me. Even because he's the king, they had to do it, and because he was the king, she had to agree to it. I mean, the story says she became a child. Anybody hear that? And you start reading Samuel, all of a sudden realize she was with child. So what did he do? He called Uriah back from the war. He said, I got a plan. Uriah will bring him back and he'll go in with Bathsheba, his wife. And so, and then he'll go back. So see, then she can say, oh no, that's your child. Because they had relations. And then you see this, David thought that out. He said, gonna get Uriah. So he brings Uriah back and said, there's your wife, there's your home. And you know what Uriah said? My men are out in battle. I can't lay in my bed with my wife. I can't do that. I can't be with her in peace and joy while my men are there. I won't do that. He was a man of honor, could not enjoy good while his men were in battle. So David had Uriah sent to the front. He told him, put him in the front of the line. Put him right there where the battle was. Isn't that funny? But people want to have war, but they're not the ones who are going to do it. You see people on TV all the time say, oh, we're going to fight you. But it's not your kids that are going. It's not your kids flying those airplanes. That's pretty bold of you to be putting. I mean, I understand war is the worst of all things, and I see it. But I understand that there were times that we had to do what we had to do. But I'm just saying that today I watch people and they want to volunteer us to go here and go fight with China. I said, yeah, but you're not going to do it. You're a congressman. You're sitting there. You're going to be in Washington eating lunch every day and getting pampered while the boys are over there facing the impossible. So that's what he did. And he sent him to the front lines. And of course, Uriah dies in battle and David marries Bathsheba. But you know, their first child was born, that child. And the child was sick, so David prayed every day he prayed. And the Bible says that it was because of God, because of his sin, that that child did not survive. And after the child died, there's David, and he starts to get dressed up, washed up, start eating. And they said, what are you doing? He said, well, my baby was alive. Well, I could pray every day. Maybe God would heal. I had a chance. But once my baby passed away, I knew that that was that. So it's time for me to move on. Not in a bad way, but that. And I often wonder, and you can wonder with me, someday we'll meet that baby in heaven. Amen? Someday that baby, nobody ever talks about that little baby. But I believe that little baby was in heaven. I believe God took her, or him. I don't remember. But Jim, you remember if it says, Jim, a boy or a girl? I don't ever remember. But that was through his sin with Bathsheba. But then here's your God. Solomon's born. The man given more than anybody else. More wisdom, more wealth than any other man in your Bible. And David, bloodline, leads us to who?
Jesus.
His bloodline. So see, God wouldn't let that sin pass without consequences. Amen? But his bloodline led him to Jesus. And here's where I'll close. In your Bible, there's a book called Psalms that David wrote. Over 70 of those Psalms. So if you want to read something, you're going through a bad day, go to Psalms. There's something in there for you. If you're worried, go to Psalms. There's some. If you had a great day in the Lord and you want to know how to praise him, go to Psalms, because David knew how to do that. David knew pain, he knew victory, he knew sorrow, he knew worry, he knew all these things. So when you go to Psalms, you're going to go and read something that he wrote for you thousands of years ago so you can be closer to God. Give him praise, church. Thank you. I got so much more. Trust in the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
We're going to do the Lord's Supper. And you know, as we call it that, amen, the Bible, the people in your Bible wrote the Lord's Supper. Some people, the last dinner, the last supper. What we're doing today is remembering what Jesus did for us, amen, on the cross. Because he always said, do this in remembrance of me. He gave you salvation so that you will see those who have passed on before you. So you might see that little baby that David and Bathsheba had. You know, I always say, I want to see my mom again and my dad again. And Jesus said, I will. The promises are from God. So I want to do this in our church simply in remembrance of what God and Jesus has done for us. Hallelujah. I think the best story of the Lord's Supper is actually in Corinthians. He said, he took the bread, he blessed it, and he broke it. And he tore it and said, this is my body being torn for you. Church, how many times have I told you? They had no idea what he was talking about. No idea. What are you talking about? But he was going to take pain beyond pain. And he was going to take it for them. And he said, eat this bread, put this heart in your heart, and do this in remembrance of me in Jesus' name. Forgive us, Lord, for our iniquities this week. I know we got angry at something. I know we worried about something. I know we said something we wouldn't want you to stand next to us while we said it. I know we did things we didn't want you to stand next to us while we did it. Lord, this flesh is tough to deal with. But you know the greatest thing is, Lord, you know that. You know that. You make a way. So forgive us, Lord, because we sin against you. Heal us, Lord. Heal our hearts. Heal our souls. Thank you, Lord, that you hear our prayer. You took the wine, poured it into a cup, saying, "This is my blood being shed for you, according to the beautiful book of Matthew, for the remission of your sins." I accept that. He said, "Drink and do this in remembrance of me," in Jesus' name. He said, "For as many times as you do this, for as often as you do this, you can do it at your breakfast table, you can do it during the afternoon, you can do it at home. For every time you do that, you're simply acknowledging what God has done for you." Thank you. Be healed today, church. Give him praise, y'all. What a beautiful day. And I know y'all know about David, but there's so much about him that we don't see. The fact, to me, probably the two biggest things is that he looked in the mirror. We got to learn how to look in. You won't be able to talk about somebody else if you're looking in the mirror. Amen? We have flaws. We all make mistakes. We all say or do something that we shouldn't. So it's like David, even was it Michael Jackson that had that song, "The Man in the Mirror"? That was kind of a nice song. But looking in the mirror, you don't see anybody else. You don't see your wife. You don't see your husband. You don't see your uncles, your cousins, your friends. You don't see your enemies. You see you. You need repentance. You're looking at you in the mirror, and you point and say, "You need repentance. You need to stop worrying today. You need to stop being so angry. You need to just love God." You in the mirror. David's taught us so many things. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you. We have so much to be thankful for, and that's the key. You have to remember. You have to remember all the blessings that you had, all the things that you've seen, all the things that have happened in this nation for 250 years. You have to remember. God has a plan. He put this little nation on this earth, and we have more wealth in our ground than any other nation in the world. I believe that is because we worship him, because we pray to him, because we give him this land. I believe that he honors praise and honors prayer. But he honors you in your home and your prayers. Whatever you're doing, don't let the devil in. Whatever you're doing, don't let the enemy in. God sees your heart. Keep it as pure, keep it as honest as you can make it. Look in the mirror every day. I challenge you to do David. Look in the mirror every day and say, "What can you, the person looking back at you, do different today? What words can you not say? What thing can you not feel? What can change you? Not the person you're with, because trust me, when you change the person you're with, or your family or your friends, they have to change too. Because you've shown something different. That's how wonderful God is. Thank you for this church. Again, Lord, thank you for the prayers answered, for all our family coming back home safely. In this world of trials and tribulations, here we stand together. I pray, Lord, that more people come here that we can feed and we can become family with. I pray you open the doors, Lord, and you bring them, and we will feed them. Lord, we lift up Walter and Jean. We miss them, and I know that they miss us. I want them to be strong. We lift up Brother Tom, who was in a nursing home because he fell down. Elder Pat had to bring him into the nursing home. So we lift him up that he'll be healthy. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you hear our prayers. Thank you for this church and those in attendance, Lord. And I'm going to sing God Bless America today, just because I know you're not feeling well. So but next week you're going to sing it. So make sure you take all your vitamins and all your supplements and all your and your penicillin and your ampicillin and whatever else.
Don't forget to polish. Brandy.
Oh, Brandy?
Yeah.
No.
That helps me.
It helps you? No, I know it does. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans, wipe it all. My home, sweet home.